finally a Brexit deal. Kinda. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler in for David Brancaccio. After years of negotiations, the European Union and the UK have apparently reached a deal on Brexit, just to have an EU summit today. Or at least that's what British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is telling us. To get us caught up, we have Stephen Ryan from our partners at the BBC. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
So, never a dull moment. What happened here?
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson tweeted in the last few minutes, "We've got a great new deal that takes back control." But what we have to remember is that any deal will still need the approval of both the UK and European Union parliaments. Now, crossing to Brussels, the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker has described it as a fair and balanced agreement. But there's still quite a way to go with votes on both sides.
And so much of what we've been reading is there's been a lot of pushback from Northern Ireland about a border. What happened there? How do we come to sort of an agreement with all of that?
So, yeah, one of the big questions is the DUP. They're the Democratic Unionist Party, and the key is in their title. For them, the connection with the rest of the United Kingdom is vital. And in any deal with the European Union, they don't want to be treated differently. Earlier, they released a statement saying they wouldn't back proposals as things stand. And after Prime Minister Boris Johnson's announcement, they said their statement still stands. At the moment, lots of businesses in Northern Ireland rely on being able to move freely to the Republic. But once Brexit happens, that border becomes the border between the EU and the UK. And so it becomes crucial because that's the point at which goods would enter the EU and tariffs could apply.
Now, this isn't the end of the line, right? There still has to be ratification from a whole host of different parties, yeah?
That's right. The European Parliament would still have to ratify the deal. And next up in the UK, the Parliament in London is due to have a special sitting when MPs will be voting on the deal.
Stephen Ryan is a producer with the BBC's World Service Business Team. Stephen, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Traders seem to be happy about this Brexit deal. The FTSE in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.4% range as well, with the Dow future up more than 100 points. Under Armour is suiting up for the final frontier. The company known for its sports apparel will be making spacesuits for passengers on upcoming Virgin Galactic flights through the Earth's atmosphere. For about $250,000, folks will be able to experience a few minutes of weightlessness, and you get to keep the spacesuit. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at the business of outfitting space travelers.
Spacesuits have long been in the orbit of private industry. B.F. Goodrich made the first suits for NASA's Mercury astronauts. The Apollo astronauts were outfitted by the International Latex Corporation, which made girdles. Kathleen Lewis, curator of spacesuits at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, says latex was perfect for astronauts' suits.
They needed to have restraints that would prevent them from ballooning, you know, just blowing up entirely when they were pumped full of air.
Under Armour doesn't sell girdles, but it has fabrics that wick away sweat and regulate body temperature. Wedbush apparel analyst Christopher Svezia says Under Armour is using this spacesuit to showcase that tech.
The key point here is to highlight product technologies that they use and will use in future product.
The spacesuit isn't for sale, but Under Armour says pieces of it will be in stores here on Earth next year. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
For several years, Marketplace's Amy Scott has been following the progress of a school in Cincinnati, Ohio. Euler School is known as a community learning center, combining academic, health, and social services under one roof, with the idea that kids do better in schools when their basic needs are met. Now that effort includes housing, too. Here's Amy.
On a quiet street in Cincinnati, Stephen Stanley sits on the front porch of a small beige house with white trim, remembering the first day he moved in.
That day, I have tears because that was the best day of my life and the kids. It was like relief off of them and relief off of me.
Relief because this was their home. That seemed impossible just 4 years ago. He was living on Social Security disability payments and food stamps and renting a run-down house with a sewage leak.
It was unsafe because of all the violence going on in there. I mean, the house was not very taken care of.
But then his landlord sold that house, and the new owner gave the family a month to get out. Steve was volunteering at Euler School and asked for help. Euler had a connection with Habitat for Humanity, which was building new houses a couple miles away. Before Steve knew it, he and Euler staff were spending every Saturday working on his future house.
I learned a lot of stuff, like painting, plumbing. I did siding for the house. Yeah, so I did all that.
He moved in 3 years ago, paying $350 a month on a zero-interest mortgage. His success prompted Euler to partner with Habitat in the school's own neighborhood, Lower Price Hill. The plan is to double the homeownership rate by rehabbing 7 abandoned houses there, including the one Steve was kicked out of. Ed Lee is president of Habitat's Cincinnati chapter. Standing in front of a construction site, he says every time children move, they can fall months behind in school.
We have a lot of kids that are moving 2, 3, 4 times a year after eviction, and you can imagine what that's doing to their educational progress.
All right, so story elements. We're going to review some major story elements.
Steve Stanley's oldest son, Stephen Jr., is a 6th grader at Euler. He sits quietly in class today, eyeing my big microphone skeptically. Principal Amy Randolph says she's noticed a difference.
I think he feels happier, and I think that it's just kind of nice that he's been able to have that stable family home.
It's also made a difference for little Steve's father.
I sat down to myself and I said, I can't live this life no more. I got to go get a job.
Again, with help from Euler, Steve took classes to become a security guard and now has a full-time job at Euler School. In Cincinnati, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
You can see pictures and check out more of Amy's stories about Euler School at marketplace.org. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.